Today's episode is brought to you by Slay House Publishing, recorded at Wayne Howard Studios.
I think that, though, like, of most memorable first lines, perhaps my favorite has to be from the 2008 film Thanksgiving, in which a turkey with a tomahawk says...
A turkey puppet.
It's, a turkey
this
puppet.
This isn't CGI. This
no,
is like
a turkey puppet
effects.
with a tomahawk says...
To Wanda Lust.
To Wanda Lust.
Who's playing a pilgrim with her breasts exposed.
Famous porn star who apparently made it into this movie somehow. He says... Nice tits, bitch.
And that's how the movie begins. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Slay House Publishing Presents Lit Bits. And this is our Thanksgiving episode. And you might think we might tackle such great Thanksgiving films as, you know, Adam's Family Values or Rocky's considered a Thanksgiving film. But no, today we're going to talk to you about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving 3.
I think what I love about choosing to talk about these movies is that Thanksgiving is really a time when you can all gather around with your family, you share a communal space.
You can all be thankful you didn't watch this garbage like we did.
Yeah, that's one thing to be thankful for. I personally am thankful for the opportunity to sit down with my very conservative parents and say, hey, let's watch Thanksgiving. And start off with that opening scene.
Nice tits. Bitch.
Nice tits, bitch.
Before he hacks her with the tomahawk.
Yeah. She's only in the movie for like 20 seconds.
She's top billing.
What's incredible to me about Thanksgiving as a movie is that it's a movie with a $3,500 budget.
He did not mispronounce that. $3,500.
I want to know how... Okay, first off...
That's like Wanda Lust's salary, a handheld camera, and... That's it. Oh, the materials to make the turkey.
Yeah, the turkey puppet.
Yeah.
I want to know how much they paid Wanda Lust. It's Wanda Lust. I also kind of want to know, like, how did they, who went about, like, reaching out to her to be like, hey, you want to be in this movie? Like, what did they hold a casting call and she just, like, chimed in?
Needed one porn star for opening scene to low-budget horror film on his student project on film school.
The facts about this movie astonish
Wanda
me.
Wanda Lust, if you're listening to our podcast, call in. Like, we need to do an interview with you to find out exactly how this casting happened and how you got involved in this project and how they got you to come back for the sequel.
It's a family-friendly podcast. Hey, Wanda Lust, you want an interview? I see our producers are over here actually trying to, like, look up the movie.
I don't think they believe us. I really don't. I don't think they believe anything that we're telling them about this. And it's real, guys. Like, we cannot do this justice. So apparently the turkey has been possessed by a demon. By an Indian shaman who said this turkey's going to rise every 505 years. And I think the only reason they came up with that, because they were like, when they made this film, like, when did the first Thanksgiving happen? That was about 505 years ago. Okay, well, let's make the turkey rise every 505 years. And it kills all white people.
That's the exact reasoning for why they wrote that into the script. Guaranteed.
This script was written by five different people.
This script is so unimaginative that they couldn't just, you know, set the movie a couple years earlier so that it was an even 500 years. They were like, no, let's make it. It would be funnier if it's 505 years. I think they're right, but it's also just, I think it's an indication of all of the many little choices in this movie that make it what it is.
Didn't you say the director interned with Wes Craven?
He was an intern with Wes Craven. And I imagine that he got Wes Craven coffee one day, and he was like, Wes Craven spoke to me. I know I can do a movie now.
I think he sat down with Wes Craven, and Wes Craven's like, all right, here's the things you don't want in the movie. You don't want piss poor dialogue. You don't want porn stars baring their breasts. You don't want... you don't want bad special effects. You don't want plot holes. You want to write a tightly scripted movie. And the guy, he's telling him all the things he shouldn't do. And the guy like later looks back at this because he was probably getting baked at the time. And he's like, oh, wait, did he say don't do these things or do these things?
Yeah, I think he just completely blanked out when Wes Craven said, don't do these things. And he took a list and he's like, right, got it, right. And so, went off and made this movie.
Let's go ahead and continue telling the story, right? So it's about five college students.
Is there a story here? I guess there is. Five college students get murdered by a satanic turkey. Like, that's...
Who has bad turkey puns.
The worst turkey puns. We thought about, can we lead off an episode with nothing but turkey puns?
I think we didn't lead it off, but we could actually include them in here. Like, somewhere. What does he tell the one girl? He kills, this girl's having sex.
Hey, he kills the girl's guy.
Yeah.
And then, like,
he
comes in
and...
He has
sex with her.
Yeah. And he says, you're stuffed. Or something like that. It's like, you just got stuffed.
You just got stuffed.
And then he murders her.
Yeah.
It's tasteless.
How many?
Truly tasteless.
Oh, no. It gets worse than that. How many jokes did they make about JonBenet Ramsey?
Oh, like three times.
Three times they make.
Three times this, they drop a JonBenet Ramsey joke.
Like, and they were bad jokes. They're like, this turkey's harder to kill than JonBenet Ramsey. And they all like laugh about it.
It's truly abominable.
This case is harder to close than the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Yeah.
Like within the span of like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
There's
and
three
they,
JonBenet
and every,
Ramsey
and
jokes.
And the characters are all like, ha 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 ha. It's
good
so
one.
Bad.
That's topical humor.
It's incredible to me. This movie made me actually mad because I went in knowing that it's going to be a bad movie. Like knowing that the choices that this actor or that these actors are going to make, that the director makes, are all going to be terrible choices. And yet, at the end of the hour, 15-minute runtime or whatever, I was in tears. I was laughing so hard. And it made me so mad because I felt like the movie does not deserve to be as good as it is.
What was the redneck's name? The redneck fat kid?
I don't even
like
remember.
Derek or something? It's
yeah.
Derek and Billy.
Yeah.
And Derek dies, and it's the longest death scene.
The death scene is so long and
like
so repetitive.
From like the turkey busting out of
his
guts.
It's like they did two takes and forgot that they did two takes, and they just put both takes in the movie. It's egregious. It takes so long. And then it...
And his buddy, the little nerdy guy, is holding him, and he's like, it's not that bad. He keeps saying it's not that bad.
Yeah, and his guts are outside his body. One
and then
of my
they have
favorite,
a musical montage with them like being best friends.
The best friends montage is my favorite part in the movie.
Singing about them being best friends?
Yeah, like, it comes out of nowhere.
And it shows them like pushing each other on the swing and like...
And one of them's like morbidly obese, right? And like they...
And they're holding hands and skipping through the yard.
They play hide and seek and the fat guy is trying to hide behind a telephone pole. And it's the funniest visual in the whole movie. It cuts me up how ridiculous this movie is, but it makes so many weird choices that I think oddly work in its favor.
Yeah, I think I agree with what you were saying yesterday and you know just now and stuff about how their choices are bad, but they're deliberate because they knew they were mm-hmm. making a bad film.
Yeah, and it works within the context of the film, right? The reading montage where clearly they only had three books on set and they were just cycling through the same three books.
They're like, we can't go to the library. It's closed. And the girl's like, this one girl's like, my dad has a lot of books. And they're like, okay, let's go to the garage.
Yeah, she's like, my dad has a lot of books. Surely he's got something about evil turkeys in there. All right, to the garage. And then in the garage, the reading sequence is hilarious. They like teach this kid how to read a book, like a little golden book. On trucks. And then after he's done,
he's like cheering himself on.
Yeah. After it's all done, he's like, ah, man, that took forever. And the girl's like, what do you mean? It was just 10 minutes of time. Yeah. And I died. Every little weird decision they made, I was like, this is the right decision for this $3,500 movie.
I love, love, love. I love, love, love the Looney Tunes level
of my gosh.
Fooling them. Like the turkey puts on this old, like,
the turkey, turkey murders puts the dad.
First, though, he puts on the little Groucho Marx, like, glasses and nose and mustache, and he knocks on the door, and the dad's like, "Hey there, little fella. I didn't know my daughter was friends with a midget." And and the turkey's like, "Yeah, yeah, I'm waiting for your daughter. Is she coming?" And he's like, "Yeah, come on in and wait." And they're sitting there talking, and then the dad's like, he's like making these jokes, and the turkey's like about to kill him because he's making these jokes at the turkey's expense. And then he says something like, the dad's like, "What an odd little duckling." And the turkey goes, "Ah." And then he turns and kills him, right?
Right.
So then he like, what, he puts the face of the guy on?
He puts the face of the dad on, and then
and the kids
all
show
of
up.
The other characters in the movie just think that this turkey is their dad.
Yeah, he answers the door, and the daughter's like, "Hey, daddy," and she like bends down to hug him. And
it's the most ridiculous kind of comedy. I swear to God, it works, again, it works within the context of this movie because it's already such a terrible movie. So then, like,
this coffee tastes like shit.
Yeah, that joke. Oh my God. He's like, "This coffee tastes like shit." And then the mom who made the coffee is like, "Well, that's because I took a shit in it."
And she holds up
she holds it up, and there's a couple of turds in the coffee pot. It's unreal. So of all of the just like freshman level humor, all of the, because it truly is just the worst kind of movie I've ever seen. They turn around and they make a sequel. And they open up a Patreon for the sequel and make $112,000.
So they go from $3,500, 3500.00, to $112,000. So you would think, you'd think that the movie gets however many times much better.
Yeah, I mean, it should feel like $109,000 better than this first movie.
Now, let's be clear about something. The sequel is not called Thanksgiving 2, like you might assume. It's called Thanksgiving 3, in which the turkey, who now is a family, right, has decided he needs to go find the last remaining copy of Thanksgiving 2.
The sequel that was so bad they didn't make it.
And they warned us about it at the beginning of the first film. And they said to be continued, and then it like ...
in space.
And so the second one, this Thanksgiving 3, begins showing us what Thanksgiving 2 would have looked like, which is again Wanda Lust and a reprising role
as
an astronaut.
But her suit is cut out around the breasts so that you can. So the only part of her body that is exposed is her breasts, and then she's killed by the same turkey.
He like shoots her with a laser while he's flying in a gravy boat. Like
no, it's a turkey baster.
Oh yeah, he's flying in a turkey baster in space, and he shoots her, and he delivers the line again. Nice tits, bitch. Yeah.
Here's the thing. It worked the first time because I was not expecting it.
It worked the first time because that movie was only an hour and 15 minutes long.
It worked the first time because it was an hour and 15 minutes long. And
Thanksgiving 3 is 2 hours long.
When you go into a movie with a $3,500 budget, you just expect you're going to see some stuff that really shouldn't have existed.
Yeah. I have never, ever, ever experienced a movie that made me to want to start doing acid.
Oh,
and I feel like
sure.
This movie made me want to drop acid. Like maybe I would have understood it better if I'd have done some drugs.
Yeah, my pet theory is that for Thanksgiving 3, they got $112,000 for Patreon. I think they spent maybe $50,000 on the movie, and the rest went to cocaine for the staff. It's unreal. And like, whereas the first movie made me mad because it's so bad and yet so entertaining as a result,
like
this
in the first
one
movie,
made me mad because it was bad and just kept being bad.
Like in the first movie, the kid says, it was a favorite line, the little nerdy kid says, "We've thrown everything at this turkey and we can't stop it." And
they've done absolutely nothing like, in that first movie.
Like
it's so funny.
Yeah. And the second movie, let's sum up what all the second movie contains. So we open with a space sequence.
I can't sum it up because I don't fucking know happens.
There's a puppet that lost her mind and she wants the true meaning of Thanksgiving.
It's a felt puppet.
It's like a Muppet. Yeah, it's a Muppet. Then you have another Muppet puppet that looks like something out of Genesis's Land of Confusion video, which scared the hell out of me as a kid.
Grandmother.
That's the grandmother, and she's rapping.
Whatever that means. Yeah, it's real bad.
You have two guys who are obviously had some kind of acting experience.
I think they're stage actors.
They probably are stage actors that were dressed as pilgrims.
Well, really just dressed as two white dudes with, like, the British wigs on.
Yeah, that's really...
They keep the British wigs on the whole movie.
Yeah. Except, the one guy does lose his wig.
Oh, at the very end.
At the very end, after it changes color from white to yellow.
Yeah, for one scene, and then back to white.
And then...
I don't know why.
I don't either.
I don't know if it was intentional or not.
Maybe they forgot to wash it? Like...
Oh, man.
And then there's an alien that makes like weird like R2-D2 sounds.
Yeah, not even. The alien just makes weird like weird grunt. It doesn't even make bebops. It's just grunts. Yeah. It's like whoever their one voice actor was, like who only does by the way, only does impressions of Cartman from
Every voice is Cartman from South Park. Including the little worm that sits on the alien guy's shoulder. And this is like a worm with a mustache
that's the color
and look of a dick.
Yeah.
And it has a comb over.
Yeah. It looks sweaty, oddly.
And sweaty. And it's makes some like weird bisexual kind of innuendos.
It's terrible. I don't remember a line of dialogue from the worm because by that point in time, my brain just turned off.
I think you and I were actually like, we stopped talking. We stopped paying attention to the film and we're just like talking about
other
shit.
You get lost. After the first 5 minutes of the movie, it's like, all right, this is never going to recover. Like, you just get an inkling. Like, you just know. Here's the thing about a bad movie, right? A bad movie is very honestly only good when the people who are making the bad movie believe it to be good, right? like that's what makes a bad movie work. You watch Manos, The Hands of Fate. A terrible movie, but it's so watchable because you can't figure out what the hell they were doing at any moment in time. And they believed in that project. They believed they were doing a good job. They were making serious art. So when you see a guy in Manos, The Hands of Fate come out and he's wearing a cult robe, but also denim jeans, you're kind of like, what the hell happened there? It's wild. You watch a movie like Plan 9 from Outer Space, right? Famously, the Ed Wood movie that we always compare ourselves to.
Yeah.
Right? That movie is truly terrible, but for reasons that I think were out of control or out of the control of the director. He makes weird choices, but like he casts Bela Lugosi in a role for that movie where he's supposed to play a vampire. Bela Lugosi died in the middle of that filming and is replaced by Ed Wood's wife's, I think it's his wife, his wife's chiropractor or his dentist or something. Well, right? So like just hires a guy to come in to be Bela Lugosi, who is very not Bela Lugosi. He has no speaking lines. He only shows up to throw a cape over his face. And like that's a choice you make because... You're trying to make the best art you can, but you don't have the resources to make good art, right? Whether that be because you don't have the technical skills to make good art, or because you just don't have the resources to make good art, right? That's what makes these movies interesting. Like The Room with what's his face? Wiseau. What's his Tommy Wiseau. Thank you.
Okay.
Tommy Wiseau. That movie is just
If I've ever seen The Room.
We gotta watch it. It's a train wreck of a movie.
I need to recover off from Thanksgiving 3 first.
No, but The Room is genuinely, you talk about movies that are like so bad they become good. Like, The Room is one of those movies. It's so bad, it becomes good.
See, and I feel like Thanksgiving was so bad, it became good, but Thanksgiving 3...
Exactly, because this is my thesis for the episode, right?
Okay, cool.
Because when you set out to make a thing, right, and you intend to make a thing bad, I don't think that you can make it good, right? Like, you can't intentionally make good things that are, like, intentionally bad. What happens is that you set out to make a good thing, and then you make it very badly, but you also make it interestingly, because the choices that you make in trying to create your art without the technical skill and without the resources to make something good, right, can sometimes turn out to be good. The Room is so fascinating as a movie because it makes so many bizarre choices in trying to create its craft, in trying to deliver its art. And as a result, none of it is good, but at the very least, you're like, I've never seen quite anything like it. So like, like when a guy comes out, Tommy Wiseau comes out of a room and he's like, I did not hit her. I did not. And he throws his bottle on the ground and then he sees another character and he goes, oh, hi, Mark. Like, that works in the scene because it's such a bizarre choice. It's such a bizarre tonal choice, right? But when you try to consistently make those tonal choices, I think you can't, like, it doesn't come out the same way.
So in the first Thanksgiving, let me see if I have this right. So in the first Thanksgiving, when towards the end of the film, the nerdy guy gets killed and he sees the vision of his fat redneck friend.
Yeah.
Like standing in the clouds saying, come on,
come on,
come on.
There are
come
no
up
turkeys
here. There's
up
no
here.
Turkeys
it's
up
okay.
here.
It's okay. Come on.
It's up here. That would be an example.
I think that is an example of like a truly brilliant filmmaking choice. You have $3,500.
That's after the best friend montage.
After the best friend montage, right? You have $3,500. You're like, how do I give this character like some closure on his emotional journey? Because that kid comes out at the beginning of the movie looking for friends. He's the nerd nobody likes and then loses who he thinks is his best friend and like reminisces on that time. So when he dies, he sees his best friend in heaven beckoning him on saying, there are no turkeys up here. Come on.
And
it's
they do
brilliant.
The same, they
it's
do the same
so
joke.
Fucking funny.
They do the same joke though in Thanksgiving 3.
And that's what makes it so bankrupt, right? Like that's what makes Thanksgiving 3 so bad. Like what makes it so bad is they recycle the same jokes that worked in the context of the first film because of the limited resources and the limited expectations for that kind of a movie. Like those characters have actual arcs. Like
they're not
character.
Great arcs.
They're not, but they're there. They exist.
I mean, the one slutty girl says she's not a slut, and then everyone corrects her and says, no, you're really a slut. You slept with everybody.
And then that's what kills her, though.
That's what kills her.
Right? She's inattentive to what's going on because she's getting railed, and then the turkey comes in and kills her after also railing her.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's good, but I am saying it works within the context of the film, right?
Yeah. I did not think I would be spending my day talking about a killer turkey. And I think we've really warped our producers. I think they're like really suffering from this. I think we're going to have to pay for their therapy.
This might be the episode where we finally lose the producers as an audience.
Yeah, we've managed to piss off every other audience. Now we're going to lose our producers.
Next time we're going to have to go back to the sweaty box to produce.
You guys just can't work here anymore. You guys are done. That sequel though throws so many things at you all at once. Like,
honestly, it feels like some of the ideas from the sequel were just like they were just added to the movie because they were stretch goals that they didn't expect to hit.
Like the two rats who smell each other's farts.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's a stretch goal.
It's like
hey,
a
if we if
it's
we
a
get
90 second
if
scene,
we get 100
movie stops in these
Yeah,
two
if we
rats
get 109,000
like puppet rats.
Yeah, if we get $109,000, we're gonna have two two rats talking to each other about their cheese holes. Like, that's a, I think that was an actual stretch goal.
I think so.
And I think, like, the whole movie reads like just a series of progressively transgressive, like goals for fundraising.
And talk about Thanksgiving puns, because the one guy, the main character, his dream is to open Thanksgiving Land.
Oh, man.
Like an amusement park for Thanksgiving where he's going to have, like, a maze. And...
oh.
And
yeah, he talks about the whole, like, the gravy. There's going to be a gravy train. That was the most inspired part of the movie right there. Where he's explaining to the Muppet.
I mean, like, you were really, yeah, you were bothered by that Muppet, too. Like,
oh, the, which Muppet?
Yeah, he was talking to the one Muppet, but you were bothered by the grandmother Muppet.
I was so bothered by the grandmother puppet.
Did you ever
thing.
Watch that? I sent you that Land of Confusion.
So, I mean, like, legitimately, it reminds me of the same aesthetic of Dead Alive, the Peter Jackson movie about zombies or whatever. Like, there's a baby and like a mother puppet in that movie that I find deeply unsettling. And I think that this movie, like, for all of its faults, like, it did find the one thing that I think is the most horrifying thing I've ever seen in a movie, and it's that fucking grandmother puppet. It freaks me out. It really, really messes up my brain.
If you get a chance, watch that. Like I said, that Genesis video is what it reminded me of. And if you get a chance...
I can't watch it. I already find, like, Genesis a little bit scary.
Is that with or without Phil Collins?
I think it's Phil Collins.
Yeah, Phil Collins is kind of
Phil Collins is the kind of dude that I feel like he makes incredible music, but also, like, if you got his order wrong, he's going to snap a drumstick over his leg and stab you with it. I don't know why he strikes me as
some
that kind
of our
of a
Gen
guy.
Y like listeners are going to be like, who the hell are they talking about now? Like, what
Phil
the fuck
Collins.
Is this?
Yeah. Listen, he made the soundtrack to Tarzan. That's all you need to know.
He did that song from like that, from this 80s movie where it's like, take a look at me now. And,
I mean, he also...
That was Phil Collins, wasn't it? I think that was Phil Collins. I don't know. I might... It does. It has
we
a
have
feel.
Two musicians
it has a,
in the room.
It has a Phil Collins feel. I had to say that carefully.
Phil Collins feel.
That's all right. So to let me sum this up, folks. That's how bad Thanksgiving 3 is that we have to get off topic and talk about something else because there's really nothing to say about this film.
I couldn't make it through the whole movie. I mean, we watched the credits roll, but my brain actively turned off around the same time the DVD
case turned
to life.
That had a surprisingly large, like... list of people working on this film.
Well, so I think many of them got producer credits, not because they actually produced the movie, but because they paid money in the Patreon. Like, I think were...
I think
that
right.
It was like you get a special, like a certain tier, and you're going to get a credit in this movie. Very rarely do I go on to IMDb or whatever, and like... will you take that picture down? It's freaking me out. he just brought up the picture
of
the grandma.
He's got the picture of the grandmother.
It's messing me. It's disturbing.
I love it.
I lost my train of thought. It like that grandma vision just blasted me out of here.
You were talking about Patreon, I think.
Oh, I think at a certain level of Patreon, it's like you become a producer of the movie. I half expect that like some of the jokes that were written for the movie are like, it was like a Patreon goal. Very rarely do I look at IMDb and like think to myself, I agree with that score. Like I'll see, I'll see like a 6.5 or something like that on my favorite movie. And I'm like, these fucking heathens don't know what art is, right?
Let's talk really quickly about another favorite part of this, which was actually the choice of, okay, so if you want to watch this film, if you're like, you guys don't believe how bad this is and you want to watch it,
oh
you can't
gosh.
Get it on Amazon. You can only get it if you subscribe to Pluto TV, which is a free...
You can buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, you can
buy
it.
But I was not about to pay $3 for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Don't buy it. Watch it for free. But then you get all of these commercials. So you get such commercials as Blue Cross Blue Shield for your parents. Yeah. And
there was one, the PJ Heroes, the little these kids show.
Like Dollar General looking toys.
Who are you trying to like market to in a movie that starts with nice tits, bitch?
And you can't tell when the movie ends and like the commercial begins. No, it's and like, that was another like a scene switch.
That was so jarring, especially in the second movie where the production value was just a little bit higher.
It was the quality of a commercial.
It was about the quality of a commercial. So we'd be watching the movie and I'd be trying for dear life to understand what the fuck is happening. And then all of a sudden an Allstate commercial comes on and I was genuinely confused because I was like, how did they get Allstate to do this movie?
I want to hear the Pluto executives talking to like their sponsors and being like, well, we have sponsorships for, you can be on This Old House. You can be on our channel with All About the Munsters, or you can buy some airtime for Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving 3. And Blue Cross Blue Shield's like, we'll take Thanksgiving, sir. I think that'll work.
PJ Heroes guys are like, I'm going to buy this ad space.
Oh, my God. This was bad.
It was unreal.
This movie made me want to do two things. Both of these movies. That was 3 hours of my life I'm never going to get back. The first thing is start LSD. I really need to infuse some drugs into my life. Two, I want to pull a Jay and Silent Bob. Did you ever watch that film?
It's been like 12 years or something.
Remember Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back when like they get on the internet and they learn all these people are talking shit about them. And so they go to stop this movie, right? And they get all this money from like getting their rights being used in this movie. And they spend the rest of their time flying around the country, beating the shit out of the people who like, I want to do that. I want to spend my time flying around the country, beating the shit out of the people who gave to the Patreon to make Thanksgiving 3. Like, just show up at their door and, like, have that song playing in the background, that little black backpack song.
People want to kick
some ass and just wail on these people. Like, how the fuck can you fund this film? Were you thinking?
Listen, if you were one of those people who backed Thanksgiving 3 on Patreon, maybe you should stop over at Slate House's Patreon and just throw us a couple bucks.
Hey, because, there you go.
Like, literally, you could not do worse than Thanksgiving 3.
Yeah, if you sponsor Thanksgiving 3, I mean, I can guarantee you we have some stories in the anthology that I think you're going to like. And I think you do well to...
I know exactly which story you're talking about. I'm not going to talk about it until we do the episode. But that story made me just as mad as Thanksgiving.
And we're not still publishing it.
Thanksgiving 3 made me mad for legitimate reasons. Thanksgiving made me mad because I enjoyed it so much. And that's how I feel about the story you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're still publishing it. So cool.
We fought about that too. We did.
I didn't think we'd spend as much time on that
we
story.
We spent so much time.
I thought we'd spend more time on another story that people, yeah, we're going to get a lot of feedback that, on that we, other story.
That one's going to blow some people's minds, and like for good reason. And yeah, that was certainly the most controversial story, the one that you're now talking about.
Uh-huh.
But the other one, that was the most contentious like fight we've had over a story that ultimately made it into the anthology.
I don't know. I feel like our coming fight over our deep dive of Bram Stoker, I think that's going
to
be a good
one. We're going to come to blows.
We are. But I think we both have valid points too.
Yeah, it'll be good discussion.
But that's another podcast. And when this time, folks,
we
when
actually
I say that,
mean it
we
this
actually
time.
Mean it. We're really going to get to that podcast.
Yeah. So if you're out there enjoying Thanksgiving with your family, I hope you're having a great time. I hope you're sharing some turkey and some mashed potatoes. Ham if you're a weirdo. And I think that, maybe give Thanksgiving a look. Skip Thanksgiving 3 and thank us later. That's something
you can
be thankful for.
Just go to the Wikipedia page and just read the plot summary of the Wikipedia
page. Be thankful
that
we watched these movies for you. And
go watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles instead. That's a
much better movie.
Much better film.
Much better movie. But also, be thankful for the next few episodes of content we got coming your way. We've got a deep dive into Bram Stoker and Dracula, That's going to be a really fun conclusion, I think, to our 2021 season.
Yep.
And we've also got Star Wars Update 1995 on the way.
I can't wait for that.
That'll really excited. I guess I should probably explain what it is just very briefly.
Sure, yeah,
go ahead. Have been reading every Star Wars novel from 1976, and my intention is
because somebody had to, folks, and it wasn't going to be me.
Someone had to. My intention was to read every Star Wars novel from 1976 to now, right? But there are so many Star Wars books, I'm not going to be able to do it. So in 2021, I set myself a goal. I'm going to read everything from 1976 to 1994 and conclude with 1994, start 1995 in the new year. So Star Wars Update 1995 is going to be me talking about Star Wars as if we were walking into 1995. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can tell you right now, there's some good content coming.
I've seen all the movies in the theater. I love them, but yeah, I've never read the books.
You are in for a ride, my friend. A ride.
I'm nervous. Like, I'm afraid is it going to be better than Thanksgiving 3?
No.
All right. All right. Well, on that note, folks, have a happy Thanksgiving. We've still got some good content for you. We're trying to line out some interviews. We're going to review a couple more books. I think we're also going to do like a fall movie review.
Yep.
So we've got a lot of good content. We want to, again, give a shout out to our producers, Wayne Howard Studios. These guys are terrific and they make us sound. If it wasn't for them, we would sound like Thanksgiving.
The first one.
The first one. Hopefully we're better than the second one. We don't have the same Kickstarter kind of crowdfunding funds as the second one. If we did, we could aspire to sound like Thanksgiving 3.
And in the spirit of giving thanks, I truly am very thankful for all of the people who have supported us on social media.
Yes,
all
absolutely.
Of the people who are tuning in every week to listen to us. My brother, especially, who listens to every episode,
and he did a great job on the cover for our for the title. That
and
we
he
have
also
now.
He texts me his favorite line from every episode he listens to.
Awesome.
And it's just great to have that kind of engagement. So.
And hey, if you guys want to contact us, tell us your favorite lines from the episode, or if you've seen or have any thoughts about the things that we talk about on here, just shoot us an email over at editor@slayhouse.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Twitter. You can find us at House Slay, as well as at Slay House Litbits. We're on TikTok and Instagram. And y'all, if you have some delicious Thanksgiving feast photos to share with us, throw them at us.
Hey,
we're all for it.
And all you writers out there, check out our updated submissions page on the website, because we have dates for when we're taking submissions for next year. And I was talking to Trevor about this. I think I'm going to try and get us to StokerCon for next year as well, too, next May.
2022.
So Slay House Publishing will be at StokerCon is my goal. And we'd love to see you all there, too.
Yeah.
So, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.